Now, it's the 6 with the Jason and John Show.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so yesterday, as you guys know, Mike Miller officially stepped down from his position for the time being, spend more time with his family. And I will just go ahead and say this now in case there is any confusion.
Pistons! He's going to the Pistons! They're all saying it, John!
He is not going to the Detroit Pistons, okay? He's not going to the Detroit Pistons. For whatever reason, you know, there is, and I guess, this goes to, you know, the old adage that you just can't please everybody, right? You can't make everybody happy. But there's a segment of this of Memphis fans that for whatever reason, despite my body of work, think I don't know what I'm talking about. It's unbelievable.
Because you're not talking about the friction between him and Penny that must have been there.
Look.
I've seen the theories,
look,
man.
Look.
I had fun reading some of that.
The theories have been quite.
This is what I heard.
Something.
So I've kind of laughed because you get some wild ones. You get some wild ones that you know are way off.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is under any kind of false pretense, right? I don't think anybody would tell you that Penny and Mike were frolicking in the meadows as best friends. They're both competitive guys.
They're both millionaires.
And they have sort of their own way of their own views of how things should be done. But I would say this. Yes, Mike is absolutely stepping down to spend more time with his family. That is what's happening. Does that mean he is never going to work again? Does that mean he is never going to have another thing to do in basketball ever again? Does that even mean that he might not have things he's exploring in basketball? You have to understand that both things can be true.
Is it another college job?
No.
Because that would matter.
No, it's not coaching.
I'm having you do that for a reason.
So
I know we touched on it yesterday, but I'm
not going to spend a lot of time on it because it's really
irrelevant for you.
Well, it's just not relevant to the conversation today. It may someday be.
Well, we should shoot. We should shoot down everything we can.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to the Pistons. He's not taking some coaching job. He's not. That's not what he's doing. I mean, I would just really. At this point, I mean, I've been doing this for 11 years, Jason. I don't know why I still feel the need to defend my damn name.
Well, you're not defending your name, just giving us the news on Mike.
But that was the news yesterday, that Mike Miller stepped down, resigned from his position at the University of Memphis, and now we look towards the future. And two names that I had heard, not necessarily linked to the opening, but two coaches who I was sort of given a heads up on as two coaches who have had good relationships with them. And you can sort of sometimes inform your what's going to happen with coaches that have good relationships. I mean, this is a relationships business in a lot of ways, right? So two names that I heard yesterday, just as two coaches who have good relationships with Penny Hardaway, are Chris Cheeks, who is an assistant coach at Boston College.
I'm not real familiar with him.
Yeah. He's a vet, 19 years in Division I, just
okay.
a grinder, yeah, right? Guys paid
time.
His dues.
Yeah.
And also Jermaine Johnson, who I believe last was at Troy. I'm not sure if he's still there. I mean, he may be.
My understanding was okay. It Martin? They went over to Troy.
Yeah. Jermaine Johnson, former coach at Melrose.
Yeah.
Would really help Penny in terms of locking down Memphis.
Old coach.
Yeah.
Mark Hills, too. Yeah.
But I think that was sort of.
And those two are close. Both. I want to tell you, both captains, too. Been close for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, brothers, obviously, but also brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, fraternity brothers as well.
Yeah. So those are the two names I heard. Again, I'm not saying that they're necessarily favorites or even linked to the job, but they're two names that I did have mentioned to me yesterday as two to keep an eye on. Do you have any? Obviously, you don't know Chris Cheeks, right? I don't really know him either. Do you have any opinion on Jermaine? I mean, he is from Memphis. Memphis has not exactly – you would not say Memphis has locked down Memphis the way you thought it might.
I was going to bring that up, but I also think – look, I this is what I think. And I have told folks this, and Jermaine knows this. Jermaine one hell of a basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about X's and O's, getting guys to play for him and play above and beyond sometimes what they even think they can do. He's a motivator and a hell of a basketball coach. There's no question about it. And again, for the most part, right? He's moved up. Now Jermaine's also had a share of trouble, MCS, all that stuff. the deal at Melrose. It was the test taken scam. So that's part of the reason why he's not at he left Melrose. So he's unfortunately had some stumbling blocks that were a result of mistakes that he'd made. But he's continued to rise because he's a hell of a basketball coach. Now back to your point, Memphis. Yeah, I think Jermaine could help you lock down Memphis, but I wonder, should not Penny Hardaway and Tony Madelock be able to get that done too on their own to that point, along with Cody Toppard, who's involved? But those are two Memphis guys in those two. And you would be you'd be adding to that. Look, if they hire Jermaine, am I going to say bad hire? No, because I think he's a hell of a basketball coach. I just wonder if, does that help you with national guys? Because, again, much like Jeff Goodman said, right. I think it's important. And look, Jermaine's done it at Martin and Troy, but we're talking about the kind of players Penny wants nationally. You want to have some ties to some top 20 guys. Now, well, Kennedy Chandler's one of those, so could Jermaine help with that? That again, to me, is local. For that next assistant, no, it's not going to be Mike, but I'd sure love it. I agree with Jeff Goodman. If that guy can help me get national players, if Jermaine can, okay. But I'd sure like to see what all's out there, you know, in terms of that too, because I think for Penny, that's going to be the part. Penny and Madelock should be able to hold down local, mm-hmm. you know. And yes, it's gotten a little bit away from you, but partly by your own choice. Matthew Morrell,
yep.
you know, Chandler Lawson.
Yep.
Now you're back in on Jonathan.
Yep.
So again, I have confidence in that those two can lock Memphis back up if, you know, and I think they need to, quite frankly. Let's be real. I've said that. We've both said it. So can Jermaine go out and get me national players? I'd say that. Cheeks is a guy who's done it for a long time.
Yeah.
Clearly. Would like to know a little bit more about him, but somebody clearly Penny thinks highly of.
Yeah, so that's the latest, and, you know, we'll keep you. Jason, I can promise you this. You have my word on this. I will keep you apprised.
Oh, we had a bunch of calls.
Oh.
John Morant pushed for Trey Draper.
I saw that. Yep. Trey is
down at IMG.
A Memphis guy. He played at Memphis. He coached at Mitchell, right, under
Was an assistant at Mitchell.
Under Andre?
Andre Turner.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
You know, listen, he's a guy that's
he's on his way up.
He's beloved, you know, in the Memphis community. You know, I don't know where he would sort of fit in, you know, for this particular role. But
Mike was making $500,000.
Right.
Okay. Pay a guy $500,000 based on the importance to your staff. And
yep.
and here's what I'd say. Trey is on his way up. I don't know if he can fill those shoes. Those are big shoes. You're talking about lead assistant money. I know Tony may have the title, and maybe that's how Penny looks at it, but Mike was doing lead assistant work. Trey is going to be ready to be on a college staff at some point. Might be ready right now. But for what you need with Mike, I just wonder if Trey knows players.
Yep.
Trey's connected to players. He's got that going for him. He's on his way. We'll see if that's an area that Penny looks. I suspect not quite there, quite seasoned enough. Although, look, he's the great thing about Trey. And the reason why he's going to be a big-time college coach at some point, relationships. You know, that dude from every level, and you see it with John Morant tweeting about him. He's got relationships at every level.
Yep.
I've always said you should run for mayor of Memphis when you're done with whatever you're doing because he's got these great relationships. And so that's what's going to get him in the door whenever it starts. We'll see. I just wonder for what Penny needs.
Yep.
Just paying $500,000 to the guy that's leaving, I don't know if Trey hits all of them.
That's right.
At this soon.
But now,
so early in his career.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
What I would say.
You're talking about third assistant or something all day.
Right.
This is almost like a first spot. Really like a first spot, even though Tony's technically that. In terms of responsibility, what you got to bring in, it's just like a first spot.
Now, you could shift some stuff around, but the point remains the same. I think what we both agree on is that Trey has a very bright future in this business. You know, if this ain't the year, it will be incredibly soon for him. He is on his way up, and you know, we're both big fans of Trey on this show. So there you go.
Folks texting.
Oh, you got folks texting, huh?
Oh, what? Look, I mean, there's a lot of folks want that gig, bro.
Oh, yeah?
So there's going to be no
shortage. You don't want to name them? Put in a good
no
word,
no shortage
man.
Of folks that –
Put in a good word for somebody, for a brother. Who texted?
I'll tell you who they shouldn't hire is you.
What?
They shouldn't hire you.
Why?
We're gonna X you out and take you out of consideration. Sorry.
Well, I've already withdrawn. I've already let Penny know.
You told him already.
Yes. I've already let him know that I'm not gonna be up for the job. I have other commitments. And I just, you know, it's like we talked about, it's big shoes. You don't want to tell us who texted you though?
I would have already told you. Let's get to Drew Brees.
The listeners don't want to get to Drew Brees right now. They want to know on the other end of that phone, but I'm gonna oblige you.
I think Penny's been moving on this for a while, so I don't know that's gonna. We're not talking about months here before he's got
now,
a guy.
Now I will say I heard from multiple.
I heard yesterday Nick Van Exel. Again, I ain't telling you that's what, but it was okay. This is a type like Mike.
Yeah.
Would he be able to available that we know? Does Nick have my question about Nick the player ties?
Yeah.
Like been an assistant with the Grizzlies, we know
you're
that.
You're not gonna find all of it, you know.
No, the point is you can't. Mike was so unique. What'd you call him? Unicorn.
Yeah.
You're not going to get all of that. You know, you can't get LeBron on the FaceTime to talk to some of these kids, you know, and come in. You're one of the best years in the NBA. There's just, that's a lot to replace. It's probably even paying half
$1 million. Can you check some of those boxes? I think you can.
You better be able to. And the most important one to me, John,
is
player getter.
Oh, 100%.
I think Goodman's right.
100%.
Again, and I'm talking about on a national level. I'm talking about you got to get me some national ones. I think, you know, that's part of the reason why you look at a Jordan Mincy down at Florida, who's been involved in getting players. Right, not just locally. He's been involved in getting players and has certainly paid his dues. Yeah, man. There's going to be he's got some options. It'll be exciting to see sort of what direction he goes.
Yeah.
Next story.
All right. We'll keep this as compact as possible. It's going to go back to forgiveness because that's what it's about. Some people aren't forgiving Drew Brees. He's asking for it. You guys know yesterday, and it's context is important here. He was being asked, you know, what about if someone kneels this season?
Yep.
He was being asked about that. It wasn't
Yahoo Finance of all places.
On Yahoo Finance, I think he was even doing a video. He was doing like a Zoom call.
Yeah.
He was asked how the NFL should respond if players begin kneeling again during the national anthem. So it wasn't a direct question about what do you think about Black Lives Matter, or even so much about how are you going to respond. It was how should the NFL respond. Context important. It's the first line that gets him. And it had Malcolm Jenkins yesterday crying. It had, you know, his own teammates, Michael Thomas, saying this guy just don't get it. It's his favorite receiver. But you're forced to be in that position. Steven Jackson, we saw, another sport completely, but a guy who's certainly being a leader since this George Floyd, his friend, his best friend, since that murder last week. Steven Jackson's been weighing in. He's got the All the Smoke podcast, too, with Matt Barnes. But the line, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America. As soon as you see it, it's like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. And it's essentially the same comments he had on Colin Kaepernick's kneeling back in 2016. He hadn't changed it whatsoever, and I think that's where Drew's teammates, you know, clearly people everywhere thought that with everything this country's going through, you would look at it differently.
I've got a clip from Ed Reed. Would you like me to play this clip from Ed Reed?
Absolutely.
I'm going to just get straight to it. I see Drew Brees trying to do his part in keeping black folk down. You're a straight sucker for that shit, Drew Brees. We all got kids, so I'm going to try to mind what I say right now. Drew Brees, you're a straight sucker, man. You're a sucker for that, bro. Why you think all these young people out here protesting? Why you think they out here protesting? The looting, I can see you speaking on the looting and saying that's bad, you don't support that. But why you think all these young people out here protesting? I really ain't got no more words for you, bro. You're a sucker, man. Straight BS, man. Straight BS. And for all my Saints fans, for all my New Orleans people who still like your ass just because they want to win games, y'all right with him. You understand?
Wow.
Drew Brees, you're a sucker. You're going to be a sucker. You understand? Punk, man.
See, I don't know if Ed Reed's going to.
It didn't sound like it. Didn't sound like Ed Reed had much patience for it.
Except Drew's apology.
Right.
To that point.
Yep.
And look, I ain't here to tell you when or if you should or not. We know how hard forgiveness is. And I ain't here to tell you that you can't be enraged by what Drew said. He took a situation where we're all clearly trying to get to harmony is what we're looking for, and that requires listening. And he took a situation or a question. It was really an opportunity, really where he could talk about others, right? And look, everybody's entitled to do what they do, but he made it about himself. Again, he goes back to the flag. He makes that about himself. So rather than an answer of, you know what, you know, I feel a certain way about that flag, but with what we're going through now. Showing tolerance, right, for the other side. Johnny called it an attack. He called it a disrespecting of the flag. And do we need to go back through this? That's precisely what Colin Kaepernick was not doing. He didn't want to disrespect the flag. He was actually just trying to raise awareness and attention, and that's why he was doing it during the anthem. But the point is Drew made it about himself. Now, out of that, let's get into the apology, whether or not you believe it. There's some key points here. One of them is that what you can't do is say, when you say I'm sorry, you can't do, and I'm sure if it was, it's the same for Mike Norvell this morning down at Florida State. It can't be, I'm sorry y'all took those comments and you feel that way. I'm sorry you perceive it that way. It's got to be about you.
Yep.
And so you wonder that with Drew Brees, because you've got the words here right in front of you. And here's the ones I picked out. I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness. Here's key for me. And any type of compassion or empathy. Compassion or empathy, you have to be thinking about others to have those things. Drew Brees was thinking about himself. Now, I know, look, that flag, if it means to you, you know, your grandfathers fought for this country, and I can't tell you, right, that that's wrong, because that's what our country's about, right? I'm trying to tell you guys, right, that what Colin Kaepernick, we can't tell him either. Is the point. And that's what that flag stands for.
Yep.
And so, again, if you call it an attack, right, without coming back, but not show tolerance in this time, you're going to get hit. And for him to come out and say it didn't show any compassion or empathy, to me, John, it hit where you needed to hit. Again, you know, did Drew have some of this written for him? Maybe. Mm-hmm. What I'm most concerned about is, in his heart, does he know it was a mistake? It was a bad move. You know, I ain't the one that can sit up here and throw around forgiveness super easy. But I know, too, from my faith, from everything I've learned, that it's important to be able to give it to those that deserve it. But the other part about it is, if you're going to be a leader, we talked about this earlier, you've got to be able to admit when you're wrong. DeMario Davis, Drew Brees' teammate, he pointed that out this morning. Again, this is who this matters to. You're going to be able to lead those guys, you know, to DeMario Davis. Leadership was Drew admitting he was wrong. I think the apology was, instead of it saying, man, y'all took my comments and you misconstrued them, and I'm sorry you feel that way. It was, I was wrong. I showed no empathy. That's key right now.
Yep.
That's what we got to show right now. He knows it. And I, you know, again, is he going to get everybody in that locker room back? Probably not. Is he going to have – you've seen where other players in the NFL have circled the date that they play the Saints as an indication, man, going to come after him on that day. Are you going to win everybody back over? No. But what I know is forgiveness is on the other person, and sometimes it's hard to do that. Give it to those that deserve it. I think in this case, Drew Brees, who's done a lot of good, mm-hmm. let's be – like your record matters.
Yeah.
Right, it does. It can't just stop mattering. So, I mean, he's put his money where his mouth is on causes down in New Orleans. Everything else, I'm gonna give him this one. He screwed up, made it about himself.
Yep.
Right. Again, believing what he believes, yes, but not having tolerance for the other side, and that's what's so important right now. Instead, calling that, you know, an attack on the flag or whatever else, I'm gonna go with it, and I'm gonna, you know, for Drew Brees' sake. I hope that his teammates and the rest of those folks in the NFL forgive him. Look, I get if Ed Reed's not ready to do that, but forgiveness is on us. It's one of the hardest things we've got to do in life, and it's super important. It's in terms of those of us who are, you know, strong in our faith, it's hard to do, but we know we've got to. When deserved, and in this case, I think Drew Brees is saying the right things. He lacked any kind of empathy, and hopefully he gets it now.
Yeah.
Again, believe what you want to believe. It's
right.
America.
Right.
But have tolerance for the other side.
No doubt about it.
That's
and,
it.
And give them room to evolve, too. Give room for their
Because
view.
We can be better.
Especially, like, especially when it's genuine. And you can have your own opinion. Is this genuine? Is it not? Right? But at least leave the possibility for that, you know?
Yeah. Because we've seen it. I mean, we literally have had listeners say, hey, I felt one way about it. And now with everything that's happened with George Floyd, as Colin Kaepernick was standing up, right, trying to draw attention to police brutality.
Yep.
Man, you've seen it on video now.
Yeah.
So, folks, I know folks' hearts can change, and I hope Drew here sees the error of his
now,
ways.
I'm going to be honest with you about something, though, man, and I need to say it because it is, you know, we live in a time where it's when it's weighing on you and it's on your heart, you need to let it off. I am never going to change my views on one thing. No matter what you or anybody else tries to tell me, I just won't listen to it. I'm not going to change how I feel about the Titans. I'm just not.
Man, you're going to change everything you feel about Marcus Mariota.
I'm not going to change how I feel about
the game.
They're a trash organization.
You never admit when you're wrong on the Titans.
They're a trash organization. They're not fun to watch.
Oh, you're a straight hater.
The uniform colors are atrocious. I think even you would agree with that. I mean, absolutely nothing inspiring about that organization. And they're just mediocre. They're the image of mediocrity. That will never change, no matter what. And I will never change the way I feel about them. And they'll never win a Super Bowl. I don't think they'll ever get to a Super Bowl in our lifetime. How you feel
are
about
you
that?
You done hating on them?
I'm not going to change the way I feel about that.
You're going to have to. You're going to be singing Marcus Mariota's praises.
Nope.
And looking like a fool.
Nope. I'm done if that happens. I'm done. Take me out of here on a stretcher and put me somewhere. I'm done, bro. Jeff Goodman covers college basketball and all levels of basketball for Stadium, and he joins us now. Jeff, what's going on, man?
Jeff.
My sources tell me that you're pushing hard for the job to replace Mike Miller.
No, man, I can't. Listen, I'm not trying to fill those shoes, brother. I don't have two championships. I can't get LeBron to answer my FaceTime calls, although I can try. And I don't have the national connections that Mike had, so I don't really think I'm fit for the job, to be honest with you, Jeff. But you might know who is.
I don't. I know it's not going to be Sam Mitchell. That much I know.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. That was a good staff.
I know. How about that? Like Cody Topper, the last man standing now.
No, he's not the last
man. Oh, Madlock.
Tony Madlock.
He's been there for...
Oh, Madlock. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
that's
Tony Madlock. Tony Madlock is he is forever loyal.
Yes.
But, yes, the staff has certainly changed. What do you think of that? What do you think? I mean, I don't think it was a great – it didn't come as a surprise to Penny Hardaway, obviously, that Mike was stepping down. This was in the air for quite some time. But now that it's done, what do you think?
I think it's a huge hit. I mean, again, as I tweeted, listen, everybody, you will not find anybody out there to say a bad word about Mike Miller. Everybody likes him, including recruits. And, you know, not only did he get some big-time players, but he had him in the equation. Like, there was a good chance that if COVID didn't hit, they would have ended up with both Jalen Green and Greg Brown. You know, who knows at that point? I think Greg Brown was set to go, to either Auburn or Memphis. And Jalen Green, who knows? Obviously, it took a lot of money to go to the developmental program for the G League. But, I think Mike Miller is one of the better recruiters. And I'm surprised a little bit. I mean, again, I know it wasn't like a great, great fit at Memphis for Mike. But I think he was a year away from potentially getting a head job in college. And now it'll be interesting to see if he goes back to the NBA, if there's something there. I know a couple NBA teams, you know, kind of poked around about hiring him, whether it was on their staff or even in management executive role. So we'll see. We'll see what he does.
To your point, it feels like there's no getting another Mike Miller. Like there's not another guy out there, right, that's going to have that kind of pull, to John's point, and have those kind of ties to players. So what do you do if you're Penny? Do you try to do something that's, you know, got a foot in the NBA still, or do you now look and try to go a different approach? At one time, he was looking to hire a guy like a Larry Brown. I think Sam obviously became that. Does he go back that route? What's the best route, you think, for him, Jeff?
Go get somebody who's going to get dudes.
Players.
That's it.
Players.
That's it, man. That's it. That's all that matters if I'm Penny Hardaway. Because, listen, you know, you were fortunate. We've talked about this over and over. I don't want to beat it to death here. But, he was fortunate that he got Wiseman because he coached him. And then that got momentum to get the Preciouses and the Boogies and some of those other guys. If they don't win this year, who knows what happens behind these guys? I mean, you know, you guys know they haven't exactly crushed it in recruiting with this class. They weren't able to close out some of the big guys that they thought they'd have a chance at. So they've got enough left over from, again, that kind of Wiseman momentum tour.
Right.
To whereas they've got enough talent for this year, but it's after this year that I would worry about. So to me, you better get a guy. And it's so hard these days. I'm doing something right now where I'm polling every league. I'm polling at least 20 assistant coaches, some head coaches, but they got to be head coaches who know what's going on. for their top three assistants in that league anonymously. And Mike Miller got a ton of votes in the American, a ton. He was respected even though he don't, and it's hard. Not many former NBA guys have that type of respect because they don't want to work and they don't love recruiting. I think Mike loved recruiting. I really do.
Yeah. In terms of the next guy, right? How difficult sort of are the circumstances for Memphis right now? I mean, there's a lot of stuff working against them. It's a great program. It's a storied program, but as it happens, Penny does not have an extension yet. Everybody thinks he's going to get one, but he doesn't have one yet. He's in the last year of his contract. We're in the midst of a pandemic, and who knows what, if Memphis is trying to save money or not, and if they'd be able to pay what they paid Mike. And Memphis, by the way, is in the midst of an investigation. They're set to go in front of the IARP very soon. You know, how difficult is it going to be for Memphis to lure and attract, you know, a really good candidate?
Again, who is a really good candidate? You know, if you throw enough money at them, I think that's a big part of it. If you throw money, responsibility, I think that's going to be the key here. And, you know, the other thing, let's face it, guys, is how hard now is Penny willing to work? Is he going to crush it? Is he going to grind it like some of the guys that are fighting for their careers do in order to kind of keep their job? And I think that's where you're going to see now. Penny's obviously, if he loses this job, it doesn't define him, right? It doesn't define him, whether it's financially or even career-wise. But some of these other guys, you know, like, they don't get off the phone at night. They are legitimately working all day, all night on recruiting.
Yeah.
That is not what I've heard about Penny Hardaway, and I think he needs to right now. I think this is going to be a critical time for him in the next year. Like you said, you know, obviously you've got the NCAA investigation that's going to come down, and they're going to be like first in line for this new process. And he better get an assistant, and they better win this year. And I think if they win this year, it kind of eliminates a lot of the distractions and a lot of the chatter that you heard even last year, right? Like, you know, without Wiseman, without Precious, some people just didn't – I mean, without Wiseman and DJ, a lot of people didn't care. They didn't care. They still felt like Memphis should still run that league, which was unfair with everything that had happened to them on and off the court.
Pat 40, Jeff, seems to think they're going to come hard after Penny. Do you think they're going to – that Memphis is going to get hammered by the IARP? For playing,
I think anybody who says that, guys, we don't know. It's a new process. How would anybody know? So people are playing the guessing game right now. I'm not playing it. I'm not playing it because I have no idea.
Wow.
Well,
it's the truth.
Why would you?
Yeah. Who knows? To Jeff's point, like,
why speculate on something you have no idea about? It's a brand new independent process that we haven't seen play out yet. So to me, we might later on, once we see Memphis and NC State, we'll have some evidence to be able to then speculate on the next group, right? Whether that's LSU, Arizona, whoever, and they're like the last two right now. They're the last two going through the whole process.
We are, of course, talking to Jeff Goodman. He covers college basketball, all levels of basketball for Stadium. On LSU,
why do you read my bio every time? Why do you read my Twitter bio?
Because people have no clue what you do. And I'm in Memphis. And so
my wife says, no. They have no clue what I do in my own house.
Yeah,
Forget about in Memphis.
So I'm going to come in your house and I'm going to read your bio to your family so that they have an idea of what you're doing. All right, guys, dad is just doing his job.
That's right.
LSU, did they or did they not receive a notice of allegations?
They haven't yet. They will.
Okay.
And it could be tomorrow, but they have not gotten that notice of allegations yet. According to multiple sources, they have not gotten that notice. Neither has Arizona yet. That's what I said. Those two are at the tail end of everything, which makes sense for LSU because, if you remember, Will Wade, all the allegations, that was last. That was like the last thing that came out when Yahoo wrote it after they got the transcript of the quote-unquote strong-assed offer.
Speaking of LSU, Musa Cisse is a top 10 big man who is, I believe, the latest information I have, it's going to be next week for his commitment. He will announce his decision next week. What's your I mean, obviously, I'm hoping that you've talked to somebody about him, Jeff. I mean, he's only a top 10 player in the nation. The word is LSU. Do you hear that? Have you checked in on it? What do you think about Moose and where he might be headed?
I mean, my source on this is you. So that's all I got. I mean, that's all I got on Moose, to be honest.
Well,
you.
Okay, so listen, I will say this. I will say this, and I appreciate you, and I respect your candor. I heard last night that LSU is still confident, but they're a little bit less confident. And I don't know if that's related to what might come down in the, you know, today, tomorrow, whatever. But I just heard that there's a little bit less confidence than there had been for him going to LSU. So I'm not sure what that means. But it'll be a fascinating recruitment. How does LSU do this though? How does LSU, with everything we know about them, you know, they still are you know, involved in the recruitments of top 10 players, and in some cases can get them.
Well, LSU, Arizona, look who they got last year. They had 3 1-and-dones. USC is involved, and we haven't really heard much of Andy Enfield in USC, but Tony Bland obviously was caught up in the federal investigation, didn't end up going to prison. All of these schools, Auburn has recruited a very high level. They were embroiled in it. So I think it's kind of out of sight, out of mind to some degree. And let's face it, you know, with LSU, when kids see other kids committing, I think that says enough to them of like, well, he's going. And obviously there must not be anything that's going to come to play soon. And I think that is there's a sense of truth to that whatever happens probably isn't going to affect any of these kids if they're one and done.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be gone after a year before the NCAA actually employs any penalties. I don't think any of them are going to affect any of these kids in terms of the NCAA tournament next year. I could be wrong, but judging by the slow movement by the NCAA in the past, I just can't see any of these schools taking hits for postseason bans this year coming up.
Is Duke going to get in trouble? Is Zion really going to have to, you know, talk about his recruitment, Jeff? I don't get the feeling that Coach K is shaking in his boots.
Yeah. Come on. Do you really, really think Zion's going to get up there, number one, that he's even going to get up there, and they won't come to some agreement before that happens? Or number two, that if he does get up there, listen, all Zion's going to say ultimately, and it's probably true, is I have no idea what my parents did or didn't mm-hmm. do.
That's
like,
the way
I
out.
Talked to, do you remember the kid Renardo Sidney?
Yes.
How could we forget?
Yeah, Renardo was a stud. Yep. I mean, seriously, one of the most talented kids I've ever seen. He was the number one player in the country 10, 12 years ago.
Yep.
Played at Mississippi State for a minute. It wasn't great. I had him on my podcast maybe 6-8 months ago. And I said to him, I said, you know, you moved from Mississippi to L.A. and you were living in a million-dollar mansion. Like, didn't you ask your dad? He said, no, I was 16, 17 years old. I didn't care. I didn't ask him. I didn't care. We were living well, and I just, that wasn't my job as a 16-year-old kid to ask my dad. I just went with it.
Yeah. We are, of course, talking to the great Jeff Goodman. No bio needed at this point.
Am I better than Borzello? I just want to know, like, am I a better guest than Jeff Borzello? Because if not, this is the last appearance I'll ever make on the show.
Yeah, no, we'll give it to you over.
Funnier, certainly.
Yeah, we'll give it to you over,
much
Jeff. There's a little bit
more.
Are
you lying?
No, there's more.
Oh,
no, I mean, we have, you and I have a great rapport, much more comedic, because you're a clown. You're a total clown. And so it's so much.
Borzello's a straight shooter.
Yeah,
no,
like he's no not.
Really?
Yeah,
of course. He was that boring?
No, he wasn't boring. He's a straight shooter, man. You know, I can respect different delivery styles, Jeff.
But I've taught him better than that. I've taught him you got to mix it. You got to mix it both.
Well, maybe he may not be as comfortable with us yet, Jeff. He may not be as comfortable with us.
He was there that night. I mean, he was there that night when he saw your wife, you know, drag you out of the.
Was he there?
The
I guess he was. Yeah, I guess he was. Well, I mean, that was a long time ago. I haven't seen him since. You know, so I've seen you since. Do you think college basketball coaches are prepared for sort of the discussions that they're going to have?
I think some are. I think Konzo Martin certainly is.
Yep.
He was on my podcast the other day. You talk about a guy who should be.
Yeah, man.
He's great.
He should be
leader
talking to
all day.
Everybody. He is a leader.
Yes.
He is elite level in every regard. Like, that guy is just like, everything about him is real. There's no BS with Konzo at all. Absolutely love him. To me, we should have Konzo talking to as many people as we can.
Amen to that.
Because, again, you're not going to get a line of BS. I just feel like, you know, so many coaches are putting out statements because they feel that they have to or need to at this point. There's some. Chris Holtmann was from Ohio State right away. I think he might have been the first coach to put out a statement. He sent it to me, and to me, I think that took some I think, again, he was at the forefront of it, where a lot of other coaches, you just don't know why they're doing it at this point. Are they doing it because they want to keep recruits, or are they doing it for the right reasons?
Exactly.
We don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly
to your
right.
point, Jeff, just see this, it's college football, but Norvell's down there, kind of, he overdid it. He clearly overdid it and lied, you know, but to the point you're just making, do you do that because you're trying to prop yourself up? Because you can get called out on it in this day and age, to your point. It's got to be substance.
Yeah, I just think be real. Like, be who you are, be real. But again, so many coaches are thinking, well, I can't be real because if I'm real, I'm going to go against, you know,
Don't be that real. That's like that Chappelle skit, like when keeping it real goes wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, don't be real in the sense of if you don't feel qualified comfortable talking about it, say that. You know, and say, I want to listen. It's not hard. It's really not a difficult thing to say. Just say, I can't relate to those experiences, but I want to learn and I want to listen. That's all you have to say. It's really that easy.
And you want to help.
Absolutely.
And you want to help. I think that's the part that all of us feel is like, you want to help be a part of the solution, right? Like, no, we haven't lived it, but a lot of the people we know have maybe gone against it, and can we help educate people, even as white people? Can we help educate other people that maybe, again, haven't had the same experiences we've had? Because, you know, John and I, obviously, you know, I got a million friends and people in the industry that are both black and white that I don't, again, to me, I'm talking to everybody in this industry.
Yep.
So that's not the case for everybody where you live.
Yep. No, it's true. Hey, Jeff, man, we appreciate
thanks
the time
thoughts,
as
brother.
Always,
appreciate
dude.
You.
Appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me as always, guys. And hopefully, how are you doing down there? You guys safe? You guys, how's Memphis doing as far as opening up?
Oh, we're open, baby. I mean, we're in a red state now. I mean, we're in a red state, so we open
phase
up pretty.
Two-ish.
Yeah, we're phase two, which is like restaurants and bars are 50%, gyms 50%. Yeah, so. I mean, you could pretty much do whatever. Are movies open yet, Jason?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, movies are basically the only thing you can't. You can't go to the movie theaters right now. So, you can't leave your house up there in Boston, right?
We're opening phase two, whatever the phase is, where restaurants are going to at least do something besides curbside and takeout. We're probably opening that on Monday. It sounds like.
Oh wow! Yeah,
hopefully.
we've been able to do that for a month now. So
really,
yeah, you guys are catching up. Well, stay safe, man. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. You too, guys.
Yep.
Take care.
He is Jeff Goodman, covers college basketball for Stadium.
So, how soon is this notice of allegations coming down? That's what the people want.
Yeah.
To know. Sounds like Jeff saying any day now, even though it was Vidal that put it out first, right? They haven't received it.
Yes.
But it sounds like from Goodman it's coming.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he made it sound like in a matter of days.
They said it could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
And that may coincide with some of the things that I heard last night.
Is Musa making the decision this week or has that been pushed back?
I believe that's coming next week.
Okay. So, things have been pushed back.
That,
not
when
saying
it, when a decision gets pushed back, you know, things could.
Was there a rush? Was there a. What? Didn't you feel like there was – remember, it came out of
nowhere.
Like,
it was like a graduation announcement.
This week.
Yeah.
Right, after he reclassifies, going to pick this week.
Yeah.
Was there a false rush to get it done because they thought they had to hit a window and maybe that wasn't necessarily the case? I wonder that part. It'll be – look, being in hot water, or at least the potentially, is what it helped cost Memphis Chris Moore. So, and again, a separate situation, but you could see where – maybe this gets a little bit, I don't want to say easier for Memphis, but maybe this is a little bit of a crack in the door that can get you back in. We've talked about Penny trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat because it's felt like LSU's been number one here for a while, but maybe this can help. Again, Memphis has its own issues, so it's not like You got a completely clean house because you got something hanging over you. You got to see what happens with that. But Chris Moore left partly because of that. But chose Auburn. I just wonder if that could have a factor here. If Penny's playing that card, I probably would.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'll probably do it. Got to in recruiting.
I see this.
Any advantage you can have.
Yeah. I see this this group text allegedly that or email or whatever it was that that Mike sent out. Did you see it?
Mm-mm.
Well, it basically goes like this. If this is true, good evening, player name. I wanted to shoot you a short message. Sorry I can't send a video because I'm driving. I wanted to let you know that Marie and I are praying for every coach and player as well as for our country, for all those that have been victims of hateful actions, discrimination, prejudice, and disrespect. We lift our thoughts and seek justice. We live in an unfair and volatile world, but I want you to know that you are loved and counted on to make a difference for our country's future. And I know there is anger and strong feelings that come with each day and every experience, but please know better days are ahead because of you. Be safe, and please always know we are here for you as coaches and staff if you ever need to talk. You have a tremendous platform as a member of our Knoll family. Let's be different and let our actions be heard in service, sacrifice, and respect. Thank you for our opportunity to coach you and stand by your side. Can't wait to see you tomorrow night in Zoom meeting. So that might be the generated text that Marvin was talking about, Marvin Wilson. So,
well, like we said, Kevon Glenn, his tweet's out there that they are moving on. We love our coach and we are together as a team. FSU football team and coaching staff is fine and working. See y'all in the fall. And Marvin Wilson, whose initial tweet started this, right, that said that was a flat-out, man, that's a lie. He told players. He was encouraging them. He is a leader on that team, certainly one of the, we know one of the best players on that team, defensive tackle. He had told players to go to that meeting. I think I have to believe they were all ears, that they were, again, for a guy who to this point had done just about everything right, was receiving rave reviews in his first year down at Florida State. I have to believe they went in there with ears open, hoping, right, they'd get a genuine sort of apology, a candid talk. And it sounds like, at least from these early indications, forget what the AD says, that doesn't matter. It sounds like he's getting them back, because that was going to be the question. Can you lead these guys? It's them you've got to win back over. And at least for one, he has. And I'll bet it sounds like he'll be able to smooth this over.
Yeah.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show tomorrow at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.